bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. It's the big show. No. It's the big show. Hello. And Alex has popped off. Jeez. Welcome to the big show. Yes. We're here to discuss the week's technology. And there's been a few stories this week. It's fair to be said. I think we might have to spill over into Mac tomorrow. There's so many stories. Joining me, wonderful panel. Top left, Jimmy Boy Hart. How's it going, mate?
You've had me back again. Yes. All right. Thank you very much indeed. Bit tired. Getting to the end of the week. But what a week it's been.
What a week. What a week. Tons and tons of stuff to talk to. Next to him, Alex G. How you doing, mate?
I'm actually doing particularly well.
That's not like you. You're normally kind of bar humbug, aren't you?
No. I mean, there's a few things that have really annoyed me this week, but if you don't bring them up, I will.
Go on.
I'll tell you what annoyed me.
Should we do Sarah first and then...
No, it's only a little thing.
Go on then, go on then.
It's the behaviour people... What was her name? Alicia Keys. It was the behaviour people were putting on Twitter, you know, to Alicia Keys being, you know, doing whatever she's doing with BlackBerry. And it was just like the most disingenuous, hurtful, nasty things. And I was like, you know, give the girl a chance. Did you ever go at, what was that, Will.i.am when he did whatever he does for Intel? No, you didn't.
It would be fair to say that the welcome for the BB10 stuff in the journalistic world has not been good.
When you get back onto that, I will redress the balance
for you. Okie doke. Next to Alex, Sarah Gray. How you doing, girl?
I'm very well, thank you, Ewan. How are you?
How was the party for 60th wedding anniversary for the parents?
50th.
Oh, I thought it was 60.
No, it was golden. That's I've got that in coming 10 years' time. 10 years away, yeah. It was very well, thank you. All back from Ireland now and, back to the grindstone. Okay, next.
Oh, okay. Sorry, mate.
That's all right. Had a hell of a day.
And we had a bit of an experiment this evening. We were one short. So I tweeted out, who fancies coming on? Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Here he is. Chris Eschweiler. How you doing, sir?
Doing excellent, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Now, just
I figured after 34 minutes and you hadn't had a retweet, I didn't or a reply, I didn't think I was going
to
get in.
Yeah, all those people are out there. They're quick to throw the abuse, but when it comes down to hanging it out in front of everyone, they're not so keen, it would seem. Tell everyone what you do, mate.
Well, been a Mac guy since, way back when, but currently I do live events. I'm an audiovisual technician, so I do projection, lights, audio, that sort of thing for corporate events, and incorporating PowerPoint, Keynote, that sort of thing into all sorts of presentations and whatever have you.
We'll talk later because I've had an inquiry about doing some of that.
Fair enough.
A bit out of my depth.
Yeah, you know why you're on.
No, not at all. The Week in Tech, what's been happening? It would seem that if you bought your Surface expecting it to have 64 gig worth of space on it, it hasn't. It's only got 23 because it's all taken up with the operating system.
Oops.
Much anticipated and heralded last week, Vine, the 6-second video application, was wonderful until the editor's choice actually had a piece of porn in it, so it didn't go so well then. One of the things that's really surprised me this week, there's a story kicking about that satellite broadband has hit 20 megabits a second, which I've got to say, that's more than enough for most people, and it means you could move out into the wilds and still be happy as Larry.
That's particularly useful for me, actually, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. A Chinese bloke got interviewed on, a Chinese lady got interviewed on TV about the state of the smog in Beijing, and the bloke in the background got caught playing a computer game. And Facebook had an application launched called Bang Your Friends, which didn't get down particularly well, unfortunately. And the last thing was that 90% of the UK would rather give up sex than lose their mobile phone.
Especially over lunch.
Unbelievable.
When you're eating.
Unbelievable.
Well, for 50% of that 90%, that is their... you're right, there you go.
No, but the thing is, what gets me is, like, sex is a choice. It's not. You don't have it, and that's the end of it.
It's a chore,
absolutely.
Mate.
It's taken away from you anyway. Right. Moving on, then.
Can't go to Sex for You shop when you're in town.
The Week in Tech. Where should we start? I suppose we've got to start with BlackBerry, haven't we?
Of course we have.
Of course we have. The BlackBerry 10 system and phones were launched this week. Torsten, I don't shave yet, Heinz, stood up and said, here it is, everyone. What do you think of that then? Schwing. And it's got to be said that the reception was fairly lukewarm from a lot of people. The tech journalists weren't too bad, but the general journalists weren't particularly forgiving. Nikki Campbell gave, I tweeted out yesterday, and I thought that was a bit naughty, to be honest. But I got a tweet back from Nikki saying he thought it was a bit mischievous, perhaps, but he could have swatted the question away, which is a good point. He could have swatted the question away, but didn't.
Because they had the same, I think they had the same guy on the breakfast, BBC breakfast program, either earlier or like the previous day. And it was exactly the same thing.
He read the script.
I just kind of, oh man, it's the typical publicity department. I think what they've done is they haven't really handled it very well.
Well, there's a surprise.
They could have gone great guns. I mean, let's face it, Alicia Keys, Pixie Lott, apparently launched it in the UK.
That's well-known.
I mean, you know, yes, she's great. Going into a car phone warehouse to go and pick up a phone. Not really pizzazz. To be honest with you, I've done some tech journalism today because it was out today. It was literally today it came out.
Yep.
And it came out in the UK first, which is indeed inexplicable. And brilliant at the same time. So I went at my lunchtime to go and find one. And find one I did.
You're kidding.
Absolutely.
I bought it.
There was no queue. There was no queue.
I was literally waiting outside Everything Everywhere for the best part of 6 seconds to get in there. Now,
you could have recorded a video in that time.
I could have done. Put it up on Vine for nobody to watch. So, I went into Everything Everywhere and they had one on display, which I was very impressed with. The guy behind the counter had said, we only got it in today, but I've been playing with it, and gave me a demonstration of it. My take on it is, if it was the only smartphone of its kind that had just come out, it would be brilliant. But if you put it next to an iPhone 5 and a Galaxy S3, there's little to choose between them.
Well, at least so what you're saying is it's come up to the standard, it's come up to the mark.
Yeah, but the market's already there with the stuff that people are already buying in their droves. And people have already got, you know, Samsung have done an amazing job with the Galaxy S3. I thought the iPhone would be insurmountable. But then you saw the Nokia Lumia sitting beside the side looking a bit sad, actually. Compare that with the BlackBerry Z10, and the Lumia doesn't look quite as good. Hmm. Had a play with it. There were some really nice little features on it. For example, the thing about BlackBerry is, and I'm very much looking forward to when the Q10 comes out, is it actually you get a proper keyboard with it. But this one, it's got predictive text, which is slightly different. It's like it's got like frets on the keyboard. And if you start typing a word, the word that it thinks you might be typing pops up, the next sort of letter of the word, and you sort of flick up and it finishes the word for you. And actually it learns as you type to sort of know how you construct sentences. And if you use a certain sort of sequence of words often, all you end up doing is typing the first letter and going flick, 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 which I think is really useful. But of course, it still involves looking at the phone. What else? I think it's okay. I took a photo with it. I'm going to post a link to the picture I took in the chat room. There we go. It's just going there now. There we are. Took a photo with my Galaxy S. I took a photo with the BlackBerry Z10. Can you tell which one's which?
I shall try and get the picture down now to have a look.
I'd imagine the one with the BlackBerry and it was taken by the other
because it was of the BlackBerry display model.
Well, now you say about the camera, but the camera's got a bit of stick. Here's a low light test with the camera, and it shows the Galaxy S3, pretty crap. The iPhone 5, just as crap. The Lumia 920, not bad at all.
Absolutely, Dave.
And the Z10 picture's there somewhere. Maybe it's in RAW and they need to drag it out. Who knows?
I mean, it's a bit unfair because it has got a flash on it. Or maybe they just didn't turn
No.
Flash.
Those are all low-light images. They're not flashed. Yep. So there's consistency there. But I would suggest then, based on that picture that I'm just showing here of Assassin's Creed figure being taken, that the BlackBerry 10 picture was the one above because it's a bit markedly underexposed compared to the other one.
You're absolutely right. But the thing is, there's still nothing to choose between them because I've got a two-year-old phone and a brand new phone, and they're taking the same kind of pictures. There's no selling point there. You've obviously got BlackBerry Messenger and all the sort of the BlackBerry ecosystem for business, but you know, is that any different to being able to get your Outlook email through your iPhone or even possibly through your Android phone now? So, what the question I've had all the way through this, and I think I agree with quite a lot of the technology journalists, is what is there to make you choose that? Oh, it's a nice phone. I cannot deny that it's a nice looking. It feels good. It's got an inexplicable socket on the side that nobody could really explain what it does. It's got a charger socket and another socket above it. I must Google that later. But yeah,
fair enough. You're going to find out it's an HDMI port.
Well, the things you can do, I suppose you can do video through your other phone. Just for completeness, so everything and everywhere, really good experience. I was quite impressed. Went to the Vodafone shop. The guy had not actually touched the phone at all and was struggling to get it out of phone demo mode, which amused me. There wasn't one on display, but he had a valiant effort and he took me through a couple of features. I tried to hold back to explain to him the stuff I'd learned from the other shop. And I went into Carphone Warehouse and no bugger talked to me, and that's because Carphone Warehouse are shit.
Did you just bleep yourself?
Yes.
Good lad. I want to know how to do that.
You're going to go, Mark a Berg.
I want everyone to have their own bleeping system from now on, please. Please manufacture that for everybody.
Will do.
They like editing so much easier.
Chat room is having a hell of a say here. I've got to scroll halfway back up the page. No, that's not it. Chris Evans. Radio 2 yesterday apparently had a really good discussion about phones, Samsung, BlackBerry and iPhone. Really good and bad about each of them. Very interesting conversation, says Batwench. BB10, fantastic in 2011, says Bookery. How fair is that comment then, James?
Nice one. That's perfect. Well, no, to be honest with you, the phone is powerful enough. It's got a twin, you know, a dual core processor. It's got all the stuff that your modern phone has got.
Well, there's two phones, isn't there?
Yeah. It's just a Z10, isn't it?
No, there's two phones coming out in the line.
Well, the Q10's not going to come out for a few months. And, of course, then you've got the Z. Why? They're doing an Apple. The Z10 in white's not coming out for another sort of month or so. Yeah, right. Great. It's a colour.
So are we saying, like, the BlackBerry 10 is the same as why you wouldn't pick that for the same reason you don't pick Google Plus?
Exactly. Exactly.
Facebook, it's Twitter, because it's late to the party.
It's not familiar. So, yeah, that's all it is. And I think it's the same thing that's really blighting Windows Phone 8 as well, in that the Nokia Lumia is a very competitive phone. If you know someone who's got one and shows you it and goes, look at this, it's brilliant. But it's one step away from Windows 8, because Windows 8 is a completely new experience. And actually, it's got a good user experience. The BlackBerry, the icons look like an iPhone. It looks like an iPhone, except it hasn't got the button on the front. And all you've got to do is you've got to swipe from the bottom. It's got no buttons on it, and that's another sort of a feature where it's got a button on the top to put it to sleep. But it looks and feels in the same way as you slide across pages of applications, you double-click this. You know, it's got the same form factor as your iPhone and your Android. It follows the same. They haven't been revolutionary. And I think one of the reasons is because they can't afford to be, because if they cock this up, absolutely. If they make a phone that rather than that everybody's kind of mediocre about, if they make a phone that everybody hates, then they're doomed.
I love the look on Chris's face. Chris looks like, does he breathe?
Sorry, Chris.
Oh, no. If you're waiting for a polite entrance, mate, forget it. Exactly. Just butt in, dude. Butt in.
All right. Well, with any smartphone, the thing that drives it is apps. You know, does the Z10, what's the app situation like with that?
It's got Angry Birds.
Yeah, I mean, there was a bit of an article kicking around. I think it is in the doc. And it was saying out of all of the applications, they reckon there's 70,000 applications for the Z10 that it can run. But it's hard to find 50.
I was going to say, is it 70,000 fart apps or...
70,000 apps that it will run. I'll let me get back to you on the whether they're for it. I really significantly doubt that they're for it.
Well, this was I was trying to ask the guy about apps in the shop, and obviously from the level they were talking at, I think they probably, apparently, bit of a scoop for you. Vodafone had BlackBerry sponsored their Christmas party. But he still couldn't tell me anything about the phone, which I found quite amusing. But the guy from Everything Everywhere suggested that it uses a similar or the same app store as the Playbook, which I'm not entirely sure I believe or understand, because I thought the Playbook was kind of Android based and it had that kind of the base level of coding. I don't know. I'm still a little bit lost. Unfortunately, because the phones hadn't been wired up and connected at that time, I couldn't play with it. And that's the other thing I really, really wanted, and I still think I want to try, is I want to find out what their maps are like. I don't think they're using Google Maps, but if they're not, are they crap?
Question from Beer Show Jimmy in the chat room. Doesn't the BB10 have two modes as well, one for personal and one for business? That would be logical.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got the secure, but you sign it up to the scheme that you're using. Yes, so there's a huge amount of authentication that goes on, and every other kind of thing I tried said you need to sign up for this, or you need to make sure you have the credentials for this. So once it's set up, it's ready to go, and I imagine it's really secure. But I wasn't in a position to be able to try those, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Alex, you had things to say. Go on. You're obviously pent up there. Could be another 20 minutes before anyone breathes.
Such a good job. I just wanted to leave him go. Right, the thing is with BlackBerry, if they hadn't have made something that was like the iPhone, they'd have been destroyed for it. And if they make something that like the iPhone, they'll be destroyed for that too. So there is a no-win situation. What they want to do, what they need to do, is create a usable phone that looks pretty, does all the little things you need them, but for a business environment. And say to people in business, like, this is a more secure phone. The same reason people use BlackBerry originally. This is a more secure phone. It's a business device. It's not a toy. It's not your iPad. It's not your iPod. It's not for music. It's not for that. It may be able to do some of these things, but fundamentally, this is a business tool. People had BlackBerries before. They did their work on it. They communicated on it. The things that phones are, communication was all about. And it did that particularly well. All right, people are going to say BBM went down. Well, since iMessage has been around, iMessage has gone down so many times to me. Most of the time I leave it turned off because it's a pain to have to go through the convoluted thing of, do you want to resend this as a text message? Because iMessage isn't working. So what they need to do, what they should do, forget about the black and white, they should do a pinstripe one. So it shows you it's just for people that work in the city or whatever they do and get on with it. So they want something with a good operating system that isn't crashing, it isn't hackable, it's got the high security that BlackBerry was all for. And if you want to go and play anything more than Angry Birds and all the rest of it, go and buy an iPhone. But what you'll find business people slowly going back to something like the BlackBerry with all the security that it offers, and then saying to their staff, look, have an iPhone as a personal phone, or we might even give you two phones, I don't care, but this is what you use for business. Don't put apps on it. Don't mess up our system. Don't do that. This is linked purely with our business structure. Use this for business, and we'll give you an iPhone to play whatever you want on the side, but this is your work phone. And that's the market they should go for.
Yeah, absolutely, they should do. But I think the keynote yesterday covered the attempt. I don't know whether it was an attempt. I think they did fairly well with the attempted sort of slant towards they got Alicia Keys on. They're going to give her a phone to take around. You can edit. You can actually edit videos with sort of pre rolls and post rolls and stuff like that. It looks like something people can use to create. But of course, you can also put that into the business setting where you can record something more if it's not too. You know, if it's not too crap, you can record something multimedia to put in a presentation. So I still think they do want to make it so it is your business phone, but you don't have to carry another phone along with you. And the other thing I'll very quickly say is that I will be honest, it does look a little bit like iOS, but, and I don't know whether I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, it does make iOS look a little bit dated.
Well,
which same. I think is a good thing.
I thought it looked a bit Android. Certainly the email system that's showing there looks quite Android-y.
Someone in the chat room said it's WebOS with a skin around it. So yeah, really, I think we've covered the bases there.
Got a lot.
Well, here's the thing. I think the first thing to say is, I'm not sure, Alex, that this is a business phone. And I don't think business really was all RIM's market. And I think here's the thought. Business loves RIM and I've said it before that Sarbanes-Oxley loves RIM because of the encoding processes of the emails and that kind of stuff and the single user licenses. So there is a business attraction there, and business is a big part of their business, absolutely. But when you add BB Messenger, that was what took it out to the kids. And I think that's where they've got the real problem, is that the market is going to shrink for them by nature of the fact that all of those kids have gone over for smartphones that are running Android or running iOS. And none of those kids have got BB anymore, because BB Messenger is not a feature anymore that sets them apart from everything else, which it
absolutely
was.
Absolutely, because there are so many other...
So I think there's a huge hit in their market coming. It's coming from the public sector, the average user, not the business sector.
It's really interesting. Sorry, very quickly. Very interesting that while I was there, a teenager came into the shop asking about BlackBerries, and they said, well, the new one's £46 a month. And they went, can't afford that. And went to look at something else. So they've immediately poured away. Yeah, that's it. Someone who said, you either end up with a crappy little BlackBerry, and it's not 9000, it's one of the really old ones, what's the old one, the sort of 9-3 something or other, I don't know the BlackBerry models, but you either get an older BlackBerry and don't bother upgrading it, or you get a smartphone for the kids.
Alex, you were going to say, sorry Sarah, yeah, we'll come back to you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, but I mean, going back to the presentation, I think what they're doing, they've built something with a structure for business. But you can't get away. There's a razzmatazz about phones. If they came out all in grey suits and sat there and said, you know, this is least hackable phone on the market, I mean, they got a kick in as it is by trying to produce something, you know, multi-use. If they'd have gone just for the, you know, this is the least hackable phone on the market, they would have been destroyed. So what they've got, it's like filtering down. It's like it's like if Apple ever did bring out an iPhone mini or whatever, you know, the cheap iPhone that people are talking about may or may not happen. What RIM are going to do is they're not just going to have the one phone. They're going to have the top of the range phone, which will do all this. But what it's going to do is reinvigorate the idea of RIM, BlackBerry. It's going to reinvigorate it. If there's a top of the line that, you know, the kid that walks in for £46 can't afford, you're right. But it's like having, I mean, it's only Apple that has the sort of one type of phone, maybe a few versions, but it's only one type of phone, because they're not a phone company. They make other stuff. It's just part of their line. Whereas RIM need subsidiaries to back off of this. So they need a high-end phone to get the buzz going, to have a phone that can do all this. And then you offer the BlackBerry 10 Mini, and it hasn't got this, it hasn't got that, but it's only £10 a month or whatever. You know, this is the first step to not going down the pan. And I think some of the things I've read, I don't understand people's dislike of anything that, you know, people are having a go, they're trying. It looks like an iPhone because that's what people want. Why invent something that looks like a bog brush if people want an iPhone? You're not, don't do that. You know, you produce what people want, then you can start leading the market.
RIM's going to have a hard time getting back into the business market. One of the slowest groups to move anywhere is going to be
RIM anymore.
IT departments.
No,
IT departments have had to go through, jump through all sorts of hoops to accommodate executives who brought their iPhones in.
Mm-hmm.
And the iPhones trickled down essentially and became and are becoming more corporate standards along with the iPad. With the new phone, the question is, is RIM going to be able to position this to gain back what they had before? IT departments may not be willing to make the changes to go back. They may just continue ahead with the iDevice path, at least for the short term.
Well, I'll make a prediction, if I may, on the back of that. Once the iPhone becomes the Microsoft of the telecommunications market, they are going to start to have the same sort of issues. I know they've got their, you know, ring fence and they've got everything tied down or whatever. They are going to start to have the same problem with people going after them in the same way as they went after Microsoft. And then it's not going to be such a useful business tool when that business tool, people are attempting to hack it and cause all sorts of trouble. I think BlackBerry will come back because BlackBerry are going to be based on purely a, you know, security first, business first, and everything else first. Because of these people that went after Microsoft will start going after Apple, and they'll go after the mountain lion or whatever, and they'll go after iOS because of, you know, you go after the biggest player in the market. That's why, if you want to disrupt, yeah, you go for the biggest thing.
So, well, which you say that though, but Android is rapidly becoming the biggest thing, and I'm wondering if a Google backlash will ever start, because if it does, that will leave it wide open to other manufacturers who make, for example, a product that is their own product. You know, because BlackBerry are very much like Apple in the fact that they are building and marketing and providing the service for their, well, you know, even more so actually with the BlackBerry business services and the personal, isn't it personal messenger? The business systems. You get some small Taiwanese company sticking together a 49p phone you sell in Tesco, and it's going to be pretty crap, and people are going to have a poor Android experience. You're not going to get that with, you know, you're not going to get that with an Apple, and you know you're not going to get that with a BlackBerry, unless they've designed it wrong, of course.
The comment so far this evening goes to WinRider in the chat room. Mary Rose was a flagship, didn't do it much good.
Yeah, but it's still around 500 years later.
I mean, this is one for Chris a little bit, to be honest. I spend a lot of time in companies where executives have got the iDevice, as he says. You know, it's been integrated in. The IT people have been forced to deal with the fact that iPads have shown up and iPhones have shown up. But one of the places that I go, you know, the guy stands on the tube in the morning making a presentation in Keynote on the iPad, gets to where he's going to go, plugs it in with a 30-pin connector, bang, he's showing it. People are doing that with their phones. They're pulling them out, you know, in commutes, writing the things that they want, using the diaries, etc., and then presenting off those devices straight away. Is this device going to present? Chris, do you see this coming up at the corporate presentation level?
The hottest thing right now in corporate presentations is $99 from Apple. It's the Apple TV.
Yeah.
That little puck allows somebody with an iPhone or an iPad to present to 3,500 people in a ballroom without a cable, without having any muss or fuss. He can walk in, join the network, and he's on the screen. One of those events just happened last night. I was working with some folks and in San Francisco, and it was flawless. You know, once you have everybody online, you know, with the Apple TV and the iPhone, that's an end-to-end solution that makes everybody's life easier. Mm-hmm. Whether, you know, the new Android Z10 is going to, or the BlackBerry Z10 is going to allow that, I don't know. Android has the flexibility to do things like that, but it's a lot more fiddly, you know, because it's outside a walled garden.
I mean, BlackBerry's got no keynote system, has it, of its own? It's got no presentation process, it's got no relay process, it's got no wireless process of its own, so...
Unless that's what the socket on the side's for. Wow. But I doubt it.
The magic socket.
That's the bit of string which you tie between two of them. Can I just make one more thing, which will be the BlackBerry kill every other phone in the market if it happens? Business users, like, for instance, solicitors and people like that, they're on the phone all day. You know the biggest thing, the biggest reason why they carried on with BlackBerry? Because they could carry spare batteries. I know it doesn't sound much, but having the ability to have a fully charged phone, and you know that if you have to be on it 24 hours a day because you've got a client in a police station or a client in court or what have you, being able to know that you will have battery power and the ability to swap charged batteries is probably the biggest thing I know that all the solicitor friends and my family and whatever.
It's only an iPhone you can't do it with.
Well, there you go.
Do it perfectly well with Android phones.
Yeah, but that is why all the solicitors I know do not use iPhones, because they need to be able to change the battery. It's that simple.
I've just had a Google to find out what the mystery port is, and it turns out it's for the wrist strap.
Oh, so it's not really a port at all, it's just
I'm joking, Sarah. The mystery port explained. Someone's posted a link in the chat room. There are two connection ports on the left-hand edge of the handset, neither of which have covers. There's a micro USB for data transfer and charging, plus a micro HDMI port.
Ooh.
You can even mirror the Z10 and the BB interface onto a TV if it's connected via HDMI. But But there's the point about, you know, this was great in 2011. AirPlay was running at the start of last year without any issues through the Apple TV, as Chris says. That's the hot property. Sticking a cable in a phone is no longer current technology.
Yeah, but also, Apple can only have AirPlay because they're in the market to stick boxes under people's tellies. That's why BlackBerry can't do it. BlackBerry can't say, right, now you've all got to go out and buy a BlackBerry TV connection port device. You can't. That's the only reason Apple can do it, is because Apple sell TV add-ons as well.
Yeah.
He didn't argue with me.
No, you're right. You're right. But there's got to be an open access AirPlay system that's out there. There's got to be an open source element to it that can, and Android can do it, as Chris said. But again, it's still proprietary. It's still Android based. There needs to be an open source AirPlay system.
Yeah, you could say the same for. So go on.
Okay, they are. I mean, it's something that we discussed a couple of months back on the radio show. There is a proprietary Android thing. I can't remember because of Russ is the one who knew all about it. But what they're doing, they've actually opened it up, and there's like I don't know what you call it. You know when you get loads of companies coming together to try and form an amalgamation. So
what cartel. They are
trying, yeah, but they're trying to form sort an you. Open, yeah, an open network, not just Android, but basically anyone that isn't iOS, anyone that isn't Apple. That will have this have this option, because what they're trying to do is, if they can get it with all the Samsung phones and what have you, and then all the Samsung TVs happen to have it as well, you've now got it built in, and you don't need your little Apple.
Fewer boxes under the screen. Well, the point I was going to make is similar to that, in the fact that Microsoft on their Windows phones have got Xbox 360. They've got the Xbox, got the 360 glass, and this really is really nice to use as well. So. They're going for it, but you still have to have an Xbox 360. You still have to have a large box under your telly. Samsung really are missing a trick, aren't they?
Yeah, but this is what they're all working on. They're trying to create a universal standard. So everybody that doesn't have an Xbox or everyone that isn't Apple, they're going to try and build it into the devices and into the TVs.
Do you know who they should get to do that? They should get Sony and Philips to do that. They invented the CD. They invented the cassette. They can invent a telly that you can communicate with. Where are they?
Yes, but the standard has to be standardized for everyone that wants to use it. And at the moment, the reason is XYZ wants their cut for it, XYZ wants their cut for it. But this has been going for a couple of years, and they have been trying because of Android did develop something quite recently. Chris is right. And it does work. It is usable. But they've stopped using that because the others won't implement it because there's no cut for them to take. So at the moment, they're all sitting around tables trying to decide what the way forward is so they can have a universal that is everyone that doesn't want to be Apple or Microsoft.
Their last major attempt was Blu-ray versus HD DVD, and that didn't end well. And of course,
Blu-ray, old hat.
Yeah, and then they've just about, I mean, actually, they've managed to agree on something as simple as the micro USB charging socket, which is, you know, they've done fairly well on that, but that's about the limit of what they'll actually get concordance on, isn't it?
Yeah, but being Blu-ray's in trouble now because of HD, what did you call it? H.265 has just been agreed.
H.265?
I think it was last week.
Oh, has it?
Last week. So it's it's the same resolution, but with half the size file. I can't think what the word is because my brain's been a long day. So H.265, you can get, basically for the same amount of data, you can get twice the resolution. It's twice the compression on it. So
the sooner VLC gets that, the better.
Yeah, but for the same as a Blu-ray.
Well, that's the 4K implementation then, though, they're looking for, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's also backward compatible. The only trouble is to make it play, they're talking about the discs, the Blu-ray itself, the actual Blu-ray, which it's named after, isn't going to be precise enough. They need a new red ray. I don't know what you call it, but they need something else.
Bookery wants to know.
Holographic storage.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. It's going to be hardware storage, isn't it?
Bookery wants to know if the spare port on the side of BB is for a Beta video cassette player. Johnny Winter says, James, Philips are exiting hi-fis and DVD players as a business move. Interesting one.
Boo.
And there you go. That's it. But I would say that H.265 is going to be to try and get 4K out, because at the moment they can't get 4K out because of the quantity of data on it.
Sax makes a very good point as well in the chat room that they agreed on micro USB because the EU told them to. Now we're talking about, get the EU to come up with some regulations for video.
And, yeah, I mean, hot news tonight, we'll talk about it tomorrow on the Mac Show, is that the Mac Pro will be withdrawn on the 1st of March because of EU regulations.
No way!
It's being withdrawn in Europe only. The rest of the world will still be able to buy it, but Europe cannot buy Mac Pro because they won't upgrade the wiring for it to meet the new codes. Very interesting.
But everywhere else,
they won't change the colours on the plug.
They won't. Keyline Pie, they reckon, will be announced at Google I.O. And it could be that the new operating system will have loads to hold for Android users. Two Android users in the chat. Chris, what are you? iPhone or Android?
I'm iPhone.
iPhone all the way. Me and Foxy are iPhone as well. So the two Android users, are you salivating over Keyline Pie? No? Right, that's the end of that.
Well, the thing is, it depends what it offers. I've got, like, there is absolutely, unless I get some crazy hacking thing going on, my Galaxy S is never going to get Keyline Pie. However, my Nexus 7 may, and it may be brilliant. But then again, the deltas between sort of gingerbread to honey, I never saw honeycomb, gingerbread even to jelly bean, has not really been, gingerbread to ice cream sandwich to jelly bean, has not been massive. There's no huge, I mean, Google Now's great, and there's these little features to get added on, but there's no major step change. Now, who knows what Keyline Pie is going to offer? I haven't looked it up yet. Are there any details about?
Well, they're saying that Qualcomm had a roadmap that got published by mistake, and part of that showed an implementation of Keyline Pie and the next Nexus release timings. But the image was withdrawn at the request of Qualcomm from the. But they're showing May 13th. They reckon it'll be out, which coincides with the planned date of the Google I/O event.
Can I ask an Android question to the two Android users?
Well, I didn't get an answer, but go on.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know it was a question.
Go on.
Right. I used an Android phone the other day, and you know what? I was pleasantly surprised. I got nothing against Android at all. But I sent it a link via email, and when it came through, it didn't look like a link. It just looked like a plain text. And I thought, oh, there's something wrong with this phone. So I went through all the settings, nothing. I went online and looked. And is it a myth or not? But Ice Cream Sandwich is not allowed to have linkable links, if you like, in email. You can have it in any other part of the system, but not in email. And whether it's true or not, I read all around the net, and it was everywhere, saying that Apple, it was part of one of these patent things, and Apple held the patent for whatever part of it that accessible, openable link.
We have no idea what you've just said, mate. You are all over the
right.
You're all over the place, mate. Your Skype line is falling to pieces around you. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll just very quickly. I'll very quickly answer that one by saying that if you sign up for example, any account, and you say and you get an email saying click on the link in the email to validate your account, if your phone can't do that, it's absolutely woeful. I've tried now. To be honest with you, what's really strange is I actually mainly use the Gmail app. And that is different from the email app on the phone. So I'm going to have to see if I can find the email app and see if there's a link in there somewhere that I can click on. Let me just see.
Hang on a minute. I don't remember ever having a problem with this. And I went from gingerbread to ice cream sandwich to jelly bean on this phone. And I would have definitely noticed that.
Okay, I will find it and I'll put it in the link. I'll put it in the chat room and then you can all have a look.
If you could put the rest of the explanation that you gave as well, that would be helpful, mate. Thank you. Because we lost it all on the bandwidth dropout.
No, I'm sorry, it isn't Skype, it's my voice.
the other big rumour associated with Android 5 is the fact that it's going to be on Sony phone. The next Nexus is being built by Sony, allegedly.
You would have thought it would have been Motorola, wouldn't you?
Why? Why is it not Motorola?
Maybe they're spreading the love.
But Google owns Motorola Mobile.
Yeah, but maybe there's some internal accounting issue that they can't exclusively give it, and they have to bid for it. And old Stringer has got in there. I listened to his Desert Island Discs yesterday. Very good. Howard Stringer, the chairman of CEO.
How does that work? If that was the case, Ewan, then how would that work with Apple?
How would what work with Apple?
Well, if Google can't use, who produce Android, can't use their own phone company, i.e. Motorola, and they've got
Apple's
to use
one firm,
else.
Though, isn't it? That's a difference.
Yeah, so are Google. Google own Motorola.
Yeah, but Motorola's a different firm.
Yeah, maybe.
Clues in the title, I think.
It's an accounting exercise, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I'm just speculating, sir. I have no knowledge of that at all. I have no knowledge at all, full stop. There we go. See? Beats Tooney to it in the chat room.
I'll be interested to see with the Key Lime release, though, what sort of localizations the cell phone providers actually do to these. I don't know if you've had a big issue with that over there, but over here, there's cell phone restriction, or cell phone companies put some restrictions on some of the features within the Android releases. And I've worked with people who've complained, yeah, I'm on AT&T and I can't do that, or I'm on Verizon, I can't do that, I don't have that feature. Regardless of what the Key Lime roadmap is, how many of those are actually going to make it through? I'm just looking at the article here from the link, a video chat app. Well, is Verizon or AT&T, are they going to allow that to go across their network, or will you have to be on a Wi-Fi? Will they restrict it?
It's a good reason to buy an unlocked phone, Chris. And I know I heard a rumor about some new legislation in the US that's actually going to make it illegal to unlock your phone.
Oh, yeah.
That popped out at the start of the week.
$5,000
fine. I'd be interested in your take on that, Chris. I mean, because obviously we've only heard it from our news sources. How has the US taken that?
I hadn't even read that yet. That's interesting. A lot of phones that people get are either subsidized by the company they work for, or package deals, so they don't get the unlocked version. They get with the package, basically what they're handed. Geeks like us, we'll go out, we'll shop for an unlocked phone when we want to have those power user features. Making it illegal to have an unlocked phone. Seems...
I think they're going for the pwn to own people. Who's the people with the iPhone?
It's not
jailbreak. There we go. That's the word.
It's not going to be illegal to own one, Chris. It's going to be illegal if you've got a locked phone to unlock it.
Yeah, that's what I read.
And that's like unlocking it from the network.
Yes,
that's just because that's not even jailbreaking it. That is simply unlocking it from the network. Which you get a phone, and the first thing you want to do as soon as your contract expires is you either buy a new one or you shop around to find out what other supplier is giving you a good deal. That's you go to your shop and spend a fiver on getting it unlocked.
I mean, there's a big debate in the chat room now about what's legal to do and what not legal to do, but I think you'll find that the OS limitations that you've got your license for the OS says that you can't jailbreak, and that's the end of it. So
only eliminated the warranty.
That's what I thought. I thought it's not illegal to jailbreak a phone. It's just it's no longer Apple won't warrant anything to do with it.
Illegal's a big word. I mean, but what we're talking about is whether you're in breach of your license for the OS or not. And the chances are you probably are if they're invalidating the warranty in the same process. So,
right, but that's not unlocking. There's unlocking and there's jailbreaking.
Yeah. But if you're jailbreaking the OS so that you can run it on other providers, then that's a process of unlock as well. But I think there's probably no... I would suggest that the move that they're talking about with making it illegal to unlock your phone is probably aimed more at the jailbreakers than it is people who want an unlocked phone that they can use on any carrier.
It's a pretty wide swipe to go after everybody with, using the word unlocked.
The governments don't care at the moment. That's the point. Governments do not give a toss about who gets taken in all of the stuff, the broad measures that they've got. The amount of content that there is on newsgroups, which is perfectly permissible to access. There's university papers that are out on newsgroups that you can download freely, knowledgeable articles and those kind of things. And there's tons of it out there on newsgroups. But as soon as you see anything going down the pipe that looks bigger than it should, or anything that comes off a torrent, it must be illegal is the thought process. And governments are doing anything they can to swipe it out. They don't care. Because they're being driven by large business, and large business.
Well, this is it. What it's also doing is it's putting it in the hands of the large businesses. I was just reading an article there that says AT&T unlocks any device which is out of contract. So actually, once your contract expires, you go to AT&T and say, "Could you unlock my phone, please?" But they can just say, "Nope," and then you're screwed.
This is the point. I can see they've got an argument for not unlocking the phone while it's in contract, but I can't see that they've got. I mean, like, listen. Not my country, but I can't see why they'd even have a problem with unlocking the phone once it's out of contract, because there's going to be as many people coming to your network than as leaving it. It's just people swapping around.
They're having a big debate in the chat room about whether jailbreaking and unlocking are different or the same. J. Edgar Huffenbacher, who's senator for whoever, where Huxville, doesn't give a toss. He doesn't know. All he's got is a company that's whispering in his ear saying, "We want to make more money. You need to pass this. Otherwise, come the next election, mate, you'll be riding a bicycle." That's all they care about.
Absolutely. And they'll be doing it over a nice big lunch.
Yes. You're all sitting working about what's right, what's wrong, what the technicality of something is. Politicians don't give a... Where's your bleep, James?
Stuff. Sorry.
Shit. There you go. See? Done.
Timing was quite good on that.
Last bit, education. Samsung have said that they want to get tablets into schools, and they're prepared to put their money where their mouth is. They're looking at those future customers. Google have said that they've got Raspberry Pi Is coming. 15,000 of them are going to be given away to schools. Whether they're going to come with any housings on them, I don't know or not. And also in the UK, there's a suggestion that there's going to be a baccalaureate for science, for computing as a science. So it'll become the fourth official science along with chemistry, physics and biology.
When I studied it, it was...
I would have said it was computer science as well, Sarah. So there you go, backed up. Yeah.
Well, what they've done now, you see, is they've changed the GCSE became, because Christopher's doing that this year. They've changed it basically into how to create a PowerPoint presentation, basic technology office skills. And so your ICT GCSE isn't actually IT as we remember it. The days where you used to sort of talk from the difference machine to your COBOL and your Fortran. That's what this new science is going to be about, CompSci. However, from my conversations with the schools, is there are two reasons why they're not ready to teach CompSci. And the first reason is that they haven't got the material. The materials online that you can go at home to study are much better than what you can get at school at the moment, because these schools are geared up for teaching ICT. And the second thing is, and maybe I'm being a little bit, I'll probably get a massive backlash from this one.
Backlash.
Is that IT teachers are the new PE teachers. PE has become sports science, and it is all about sort of sports and stuff. The teachers who haven't really got any particular skills, unfortunately, now become IT teachers.
You just want your son to know the pain of feeding in a punch card, don't you?
Yes, absolutely, and it's all about lighting LEDs. If there's no LEDs, you switch on with a toggle switch. It's not proper computing.
Well, there is a way around this, because of my eldest's school has a baccalaureate thing, but it's one that they devised themselves, because the national baccalaureate thing doesn't come until next year, I think. And what they organised with us, because they were quite good at, you know, talking to us about it, we... Obviously, he wanted to do computer science, but he's doing the BTEC rather than the GCSE. And the BTEC is a more science-based computer science rather than a learning how to put numbers in a spreadsheet. It's building carcasses of computers and learning how to program in. Next, I think his next section, I can't remember what you call it, module, is a game programming.
See, this is what's really going to frustrate me, is that these Raspberry Pis get delivered to schools and they just sit around doing nothing.
Like Saxes.
Exactly. I mean, my son has got every opportunity to play on the Raspberry Pi, but he doesn't, because he's got a computer in front of him which is already built, already finished. And if it does go wrong, he's got a dad who'll fix it for him. I'm not going to do that. That's what I should do. I should say, right, Chris, if it's gone wrong, if there's something hasn't worked, if it's not booting up, you bloody fix it. And if you have to Google it, fix a computer, and then Google it.
Once again, bearing in mind that we're all grumpy old men on this show and not really that clued up on things, Matt Wench has chimed in with a point that the BTEC tends to be more vocational programming, and they teach that at her college. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we went with it.
Blah, humbug.
Because he would have spent 2 years doing absolutely nothing if it was the normal science course.
I want Ellis to know how to do basic programming in functional languages that he can use in real life. I want him to understand coding, and then I want him to think about the fact he's been given some information about C++ or even just Cocoa or something like that, that's your front-end stuff, or Xcode, something applicable. And the other thing is, I'd love to be able to say that Ellis, when he comes out of school, can make a PowerPoint presentation, because one of the things that I've seen going from business to business over the years is that there's a lot of people that can't do basic things. They can't operate basic, and I'm one of them. I can't operate. I've got given a computer so that I can get onto a company accounting system to post me invoices, and they keep saying to me, well, just do it in Word. I've never used Word.
Christ, use Word and table.
Step one.
I've never used Word.
Step one in any of these things is, before you know how to do PowerPoint, you have to be able to tell a story. You have to be able to have a rational argument and explain that to somebody. That's the step one. The stuff that my kids were being taught was the technological, this is how you create a slide, this is how you change the font. You can do animations with
But it's almost like parrot fashion, isn't it? It's like, this is the workflow. And if you want to deviate from that workflow, you're going to have to find it out for yourself. There's no creative thought. I mean, half of what we're doing with computing is, one, as you say, making sure the content is presented correctly, and two, is looking for other snippets of code that other people have written and weaving it into your own to create this kind of organism.
Yeah.
Right, it's technical plagiarism, in a way.
But PowerPoint, it's
interesting that there's Raspberry Pis being brought into schools, and Samsung wants to put tablets into schools, and tablets being somewhat more closed.
Well, it's the opposite of a Raspberry Pi, isn't it, really? They'd just be watching bloody YouTube videos all day.
Go ahead, Alex. You had a point?
Yeah, I forget what it was now.
That's what you get for interrupting.
No, it was valid as well. Sorry.
Could I just say there was an interesting point on that article which Eric Schmidt said, saying that he felt that Britain was wasting its computer heritage by not failing to teach kids properly about IT. And I think that's a very...
He's got a point.
He's got a very valid point. When you consider where we came from the days of building Colossus at Bletchley Park during the Second World War, and obviously that's only just recently come out about the fact that effectively we were the ones that created the first computer and not the Americans. You know, it is a shame that we're not running ahead with it. And
I would say, though, and maybe I'll be shot down for this, there will be another backslash, is that it tends to be the remit of the hobbyist and the enthusiast. And if you are enthusiastic about it, you will do it. I mean, I grew up, and the first time I had the opportunity to play on a computer, that was it. I was playing with the, you know, I was doing the print Hello World 20, go to 10, stuff like that. That's what I was doing.
Me too.
Shame you haven't moved on.
I haven't, unfortunately. No. I mean, what was impressed me is my boys, we're trying to get Christopher to sort of take an interest in proper computer science. And he's doing stuff at the moment with... he's doing the Codem Academy stuff, and they're teaching about ASP.NET and some of the functions, the way you can access databases and create, I can't remember, it was called something like lambdas or something like that. Crazy stuff that I've got no concept of. And the fact that he's doing stuff now that I don't understand actually encourages me, because he is taking on this kind of new paradigm. And I'm stuck writing shell script.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, the thing I was going to say before when we were talking about in schools, I fundamentally think that if you're going to have a maths lesson and you're going to expect your children to produce your work in a certain way, well, part of the maths curriculum should be showing them how to do tables, how to write things in spreadsheets and various things. If you want pupils to produce their English homework in a certain way or their presentation in a certain way, let's not worry about the old-fashioned, you know, the handwriting lessons and all that sort of stuff, because of, let's face it, none of us can write neatly anymore because none of us do it enough anymore. What they want to do is part of the curriculum for each of these subjects that matter. Science is great. Geography, my son is always having to present things in geography in formats which are, you know, Excel or it's PowerPoint or this, that and the other. But they don't teach him that in that lesson. They expect them to have a separate lesson to learn things, which, let's face it, are pretty basic. If you get a kid up and running Right, this is the first lesson, day one of school. This is PowerPoint, right? By the time they finish that school, they are going to be absolutely fluent world experts in PowerPoint. Don't make it a separate lesson. Make that part of the core of them learning their subjects.
Because that's exactly showing that use of things like Office are exactly what they are. They're tools. It's not a skill.
Exactly. And these people will take it forward. These people will make, you know, these people are the people that improve it. And just about what James said a moment ago, where it's an enthusiast thing, that's where it comes from. Let's all remember when we all started reading the Steve Jobs biography, it was him and Bill Gates. They were, and obviously a few others, but they were enthusiastic. They were homegrown people that went to little, you know, garages here and there, and they built computers. So it's no different to what it was. It's just now, when they did it, there was no big company other than IBM and, you know, a couple of people knocking out rubbish that was competing. The people that are doing it, your son, my son, and various people, they're doing exactly what was done before. Nothing's changed. It's just there's a massive competition with, you know, big companies building boxes that you can't open.
What I would say, though, is that what does encourage me is that 13-year-olds are writing iOS apps. And that is brilliant. That because the walls for them to get climb over to get something which actually goes to market are so low. So in some respects, it's encouraging. And the fact that if BlackBerry have got another sort of ecosystem where people can get them involved, they bloody well should. And it's interesting that that Ewan was saying that he's going to get his son to look into sort of the Cocos and the and the iOS kind of side of the world. And I'm looking at the Microsoft side of the world. And of course, I've got on my list of things to do is learn how to make an Android app, but I haven't had the chance to do that. The barriers to entry are so low these days. There's really not an excuse. And actually, what I might do is I might sort of bribe my boy, because the only way you can get kids to do these things these days is by bribing them, and say, if you can create an Android app, even if it doesn't go into the market, if it impresses me, I'll give you 50 quid.
I mean, there's a couple of points here. Booker in the chat room saying, can kids still write longhand with a pen and paper? To a certain degree, who gives a toss? Because the only thing I ever do with a pen now is sign my name on a check once every 3 months, and that's it. I don't write anything out. I might write a couple of notes on post-it pads, show titles, and that's it. And Alex is right. My handwriting's crap because I never practice anymore.
What's more important is, can they write a coherent sentence using a keyboard? Do they use the letter U instead of the word U?
Yeah.
I'm interested that Ellis can do something applicable. I remember sitting in computer science lessons at school and someone explaining binary to me. And even at the stage that I was at in school in 1984, binary was an irrelevance at that point in front end. There was no need to understand binary to write a computer program, because you had BASIC and you had other languages that were there that were helping you to deliver what the binary process could give you. See, but they still gave you the lesson about this is binary, this is, and here's how to get to write a word across and write the whole thing out in ones and zeros. And that switched me off. I didn't want to learn about that.
It didn't for the geeks like me and James that were really interested in it.
Are we really at the stage where in the mainstream of education they need to teach something at the core basics?
No,
do you need to teach C++? You don't.
No.
You need to teach Cocoa. You need to teach Xcode. You need to keep the front end stuff that people use to make the functional applications that they use. That's the functional end of computing. The theory stuff and all that kind of stuff, people will pick that up anyway, like you say, because they are geeks. But that was the core of the syllabus when I was at school. And it switched me off. And I wish it hadn't, because I'd learn more and I'd know more now.
It didn't me when in the same lessons, Ewan.
Well, I did computer science as, you know, full-on, really Mantissina exponent computer science. Yeah, most of it is completely gone out of my head. The thing that James was referring to me, is the Lego brick way of building. But, you know, there is nothing wrong with the Lego brick way of building, you know, an Android app or whatever. But what also is important is, you get people excited by Lego brick, but you've also got to give them the opportunity to be able to rebuild the Lego. And that's really, really important, because at the moment, they don't. I mean, my son, so I'm going to say is brilliant, but he is academically a genius. He always has been, you know, and it's got as many lows as highs, but there you go. He comes to me and asks me some quite basic questions after he's done something at school. And I'm like, he's doing the most, you know, difficult level that he can do at his age. And he's picked the most difficult way of doing it as well. So he gets, you know, right into the nitty gritty. But what he's learning, I'm sort of, I lift up my eyebrows because I can't believe it. I was at the parents' evening recently, and the BTEC science guy, he's got, it's a 2-year course. He said to me, well, to be honest, if William doesn't turn up for the rest of the course, bearing in mind he's only done at that time 2 of the 6 parts of the course, he's still going to get an A star because he's done so much already. And I'm like, well, what's he going to do? Well, we've got other kids in the class that aren't quite as good, so hopefully he can help them out. And I was like, where are you pushing? This is computer science. You know, it's not, no, it's not English where, you know, you can learn your English and then you can relearn it and you can learn a few nuances. You know, this is on or off. You know, this is a very, very straight science, but there's nowhere for him to go. Absolutely nowhere. So he's going to waste 2/3 of this course just basically helping other kids, which is nice. There's a social aspect and all the rest of it, but that is the best they've got to offer. I hate to see what the mediocre one is.
I did something very similar to that, Alex, when I was at college, when I started the course, and I'd already done a lot of
when
work.
When I was at college, I
gave
spent
most of the exercises on the first couple of days, and I ended up spending the rest of that half term actually helping some of the other students in the class.
Well, when I was at college, I reckon I spent the first term learning stuff that I already knew, but I had to prove it. And the second 2 terms, I wrote a game called Ferrari, which I did sell to a company in Cambridge. I didn't get much for it. And I wrote a skiing downhill game. And that's what I did.
He wrote the game called Ferrari, and then he got sued by them for misuse of the name, and that's why he's poor now.
It was in the days where it was it's still 8-bit IBM machines. It wasn't even 16-bit yet. So nobody sued anyone then.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. We love them. We can't, I mean, every week we do the same thing, but they pick up all the bandwidth for the shows, and they've supported us now for a long period of time. And the reason that they carry on is because you guys support them. If you want to keep British Tech on the air, it's plain and simple. We can't pick up the bandwidth charges that we would have on the server if we didn't have UK2 as our supporters. So please, 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 if you want to buy anything for the web, check out what services they've got to offer. Go to our website, use the sponsors link, click on their logo, use the offer codes having gone through from our page, and we'll stay on the air as a result. So UK2, brilliant, love them, can't do without them. Please
buy something.
Buy now. Absolutely. Wonderful. Right then. Have we got cool things? Mr. James.
I have. Now, last week, I think I went on a bit. So this week is going to be very, very simple. It is simple applications. The first, I was ever so impressed with this. Have you ever sort of wanted to type something in? You're looking at a web browser. You want to make a note or something like that.
Mm.
You can do that on the web browser. I'm going to type this into the chat room. If I can copy and paste it. Let me just copy and paste it. And I shall obviously put it in the show notes. Basically, you open a new tab and type in data colon text /HTML, comma, less than sign HTML content editable, close the greater than sign, and you end up with a piece of empty web tab that you can type in. And then you can copy, you know, so for example, if you're typing out a form and you don't want the form to refresh and lose your stuff, you can type it out there and copy and paste it into the form. So it's just a tab that you can use as a notepad.
Excellent.
And the other one is, if you don't want to use that, there's something called wallwisher.com, which I think is quite cute. And the thing I find most cute about it is it's got that kind of interactive flash thing. You can move stuff around. But it works on my Android tablet. And so it must be written in HTML5 or Ajax or something like that. But it's quite pretty.
You're a secret Pinterest user, aren't you?
It's a post-it note version of Pinterest, yes. So yeah, it's pretty. It's collaborative. So you can share a link and you can drag stuff. There you go. Oh, my word, it works. There you go. And you can just type stuff in and it appears on people's... And I just think it's quite pretty. So it's wallwisher.com.
Failing that, use Pinterest.
Oh, Pinterest.
Sorry, mate.
All good.
All right, mate. Alex, what you got for a spell?
Okay, right, quite simply. Just something I've been meaning to mention, and I know a lot of people know because I've mentioned it in the chat room before, but I've was introduced recently to an app called Apps Gone Free. I think, just looking at it, I think there's an Android version. And what's so wonderful about this is you know, you just get a daily list. It's not many, sort of 7 or 8 of apps that have gone free in the App Store. But because they're not free apps to start off with, and a lot of these companies, they'll put something free for a day or 2 days or something just to drum up excitement about it. But you get the heads up. I've had some apps recently, you know, like £4 apps, whatever, and I don't pick them all because they're all there. Some of them I'm just not interested. But I've had some great, great apps for nothing. And the majority of what I see, I think, well, I'm not going to get that because it's just my phone or my iPad's full. But I've got now these new things. I get them anyway, then I delete them. So I can always get them for free at a later date if I change my mind. But it's a free app. App's gone free. I just read somewhere that they do an Android an Android version as well and an iOS version. And it's absolutely brilliant. I can't think of a single reason why not to have this app.
Carl Swagger's going to love you tomorrow when he sees that, mate.
Why? Is that what he picked?
He loves free stuff,
doesn't he? He's a tight ass.
Yeah, but it's just incredible. I can't, honestly, no loose situation. It's that good that I actually, when they asked me for a review thing, I wrote a really long review basically saying, you're just mad if you don't have this. Anyway, and the other thing, now, some people haven't agreed with me on Amazon, but everyone has their own opinion. I bought a thing, it's called a daffodil, which is for batwench, near the Welsh. It's not spelled right anyway. It's a LAN, it's a USB wireless internet adapter. Okay. It's nothing special, but it's £10.75. The last three, I mean, I've got wireless N, but you know, the 150 ones. This is a 300 megabits one. The last one I bought was 40 something pounds. I can't remember. A Netgear one, 40 something pounds. I used it upstairs. It works. It's okay. I'm on 120 bit megabit service upstairs. On a good day, I get about 60, which is not bad for wireless. I plugged this in. It went up to 80. This was £10.75, and the other one was £40. I've read people that, you know, there's always people that say, oh, it don't work because of, you know, they're 200 miles from their house and they wonder why it's not picking anything up. But this thing, the £10.75, I bought one and it's brilliant. I mean, if you buy one, it's not. My name's Ewan Rankin, but I think it's brilliant. It is multi-platform as well, so it's supported by Windows, Linux rather, and Mac also. So you just can't go wrong.
Multi-platform never used to include Linux.
Yeah, this one does.
Yeah, that's true.
But the beauty of this one is it's a 300, whatever you call it. Can't remember what a
bits per second.
Yeah, bits per second, megabits per second. All the others, unless you pay a fortune, like £40, a lot of the others that are any good are £40, but most of them I bought are only 150 megabits. This is a 300 for £10.75, and it blooming well works.
Johnny Winter's cat in the chat room is blacker than yours, mate. He's got it for £9.10, but he says it's bloody good and he just bought it. There you go.
Has he got the 300 or has he got the 150?
Oh.
He's got the 150.
You want the 300, the 150.
Your cat.
Half speed, mate, half speed.
Winter, your cat's ginger, mate.
At 90p, you can get another 150.
Yeah, you see.
Exactly.
Sarah. What have you got for us?
Yes, mine's an Android app. It's not a new app. It's been around for a while. And I must admit, I've had it installed on my phone, but used it a couple of times recently with all the different events going on. What it does is allows you to silence the phone. It's called Shush. I'm sure you've probably heard of it before, but it was particularly useful for me on Sunday. I went to the cinema. Whenever I go to the cinema, I'm always switching the phone off or put it on silent. And I forget to put it on, turn it back on afterwards. And it was particularly good because when I found out how long the film was, right, okay, set that as I went in. And that was it, and it was fine. And it was back on again when I came out. It's brilliant. Does the job.
Excellent. Dead easy.
Yep.
Nice.
We've got a bit of... Who's got the static? Is that you, Chris?
Cylon.
I don't think
Am I Cyloning?
Yeah, it's Chris, it's you. You're Cyloning.
Naturally.
I'll do my pick while you unplug and replug, mate. Okay, my plug is dead simple. I needed a video tripod, and I started looking around, and video tripods are stupid money, absolutely stupid money. So I had it cruise, and I found one, and it's at Wex Photographic, dead simple. It's called the Camlink professional video tripod, and you usually stay away from things that have got professional in the title because they usually aren't. But this thing's great. It comes with two striker plates, so you can have two different setups and just swap them over dead quick. It comes with two arms, so you can smoothly pan and tilt your head around. And it's got the retained base as well, so you're not prone to sliding open on wet surfaces and that kind of stuff. I bought it. I put my new camera rig on it, and it's brilliant. And it was £150, as opposed to paying something like £500, which is what most of them start at. So there you go. It's the Camlink TP Professional Video Tribe Wex Photographic, £149.99, actually. And it comes with a bag and two spare plates, like I said, so it's really, really useful.
That is cheap. I was sort of listening to what you're saying, but, you know, and then you said £149. I was like, what?
Yeah, Batwing says it looks like a solid tripod as well. It is rock solid. And what's beautiful as well is the difference between a photographic tripod, usually in the head, and the video tripods, is that you get a nut on the underside. No, you get a nut on the underside because they've got a retained structure in them with the centre part there to hold them, stop them sliding open. You end up with a nut in the middle that you can slacken off, and then you can tilt the head separately, retighten it, and it'll rotate about that axis so that you can get...
You could do single point pans. Whatever.
Yes, but you're always level because you tilt the whole axis of the head underneath, and that's got this facility on it as well. So it's not even just a crappy video one, it's a proper video
one. How much would you normally expect to pay for something like that?
Video tripods start at £250 to £500.
Good heavens.
Well, I paid £600 for my last camera tripod, so I can't believe how cheap it is. I might get one just for my camera. I mean, that really does look rock solid.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's absolutely, it's beautifully made. And it comes with a bag as well, with a shoulder strap. And it's got the two panning head, and I was gobsmacked when I found it. I thought, I'll order it, and if I don't like it, I'll send it back. I'm a good enough customer for Wex that they'd take it back quite happily. But as soon as I saw it, that was it. And I've got a nice little shoulder rig that doesn't work very well as a shoulder rig. I think it's pretty crappy, actually. But what I've done is hatched it about a bit with the rods that it's got. And I've mounted it to the spare strike plate, and I've got a nice little sort of setup with barn doors on it and all sorts. It's great.
Cool. It looks like I'm £150 down.
Well, the other thing was that the other week I managed, because I carry rain hoods around. I recommended them on the big show the other week. They're plastic hoods that will accommodate a flash on the top as well and an eyepiece at the back. And they're 99 pence from Amazon. And they're basically disposable rain covers. So I pull them on, and they've got a zip tie at the front that you zip up to stop it damaging your lens. And you can operate the whole thing with your hands inside it from underneath, and you haven't got a problem. But the trouble is they're quite big. And when the wind blows... They pick up like a sail, and over Christmas I nearly lost my brand new 6D sideways on a railway line. So the reason I've got this as well is the fact that I think I might start using this for photography too. And it's just a standard 3/8 connection, so you haven't got to worry about compatibilities and that kind of stuff. You can stick your little compact camera on it as long as it's got a tripod thread on it.
Well, the heads are normally better built because they're designed to be moving around. Whereas, you know, the heads I use lock down, and you don't want it to move. But if something is intrinsically designed to be able to move in one direction and lock in another direction, it's got to be better built than a normal head. I can't believe that, Bryce.
It's the glide on it is superb. It's really, really good. And like I said, it's got the self-leveling screw thread underneath that you unscrew, put it to the zero, and then screw it back up, and it pans around the zero, regardless of the angle of the rest of the tripod. There you go.
I'm liking.
Chris, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, first of all, is my sightlining gone?
Gone. Perfect.
Okay, good. My pick here is something I've used for years, searching for a laptop stand. You know, when they first came out and they were hot and they were scalding your lap, needed something that was allowed a little bit of airflow and would also give me a little bit of an ergonomic advantage, you know, tip it up a little bit for long-term typing. And what I came up with, found online, was the Keynamix Aviator Stand. It's a three-piece unit for those on the audible side of this. It's two sides and a crossbar. They all latch together, but it comes apart and just snaps together like so. What you end up with is a slanted platform that is also reversible, but you can put it on a table, gives you a little bit of angle. It has a couple of little hooks. So if you're working on an airplane, you can hook it against the front of the tray table, and it won't slide up toward the seat ahead of you there as you're typing along. It won't scoot along. You can also do it backwards. If you're standing at a table and you want your keyboard kicked up towards you on your laptop, if you're presenting, say, and need to interact with web pages and things, you can actually lift it up so it's a little more natural to be able to stand and type. Handy little thing, $20 here in the U.S. Wow. I bought it direct from Kinamics. I don't know where else you might find them, but just a handy little thing. I've used, like I used them for years, and everyone who sees them goes, I have to get me one of those. That's really slick. So that's
my pick. Good, yeah.
Is it foldable, Chris?
Yeah, well, it breaks apart into and snaps together the three pieces, the two sides stack together, the crossbar comes, you know, snaps in. It's the thickness of both halves, both side pieces put together.
Oh, that's
nice. It folds very flat. It drops into a laptop bag.
Oh, that is a nice engineering, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was just one of those lucky finds. And
Keynamics.com. KEYNAMICS.com. What did you say the price was, Chris?
I paid, I think it was $19.95 US.
Yeah, you said $20. I thought you said $20. Yeah. Lovely. Excellent. Johnny Winter has been taking the piss out of Alex's linkable links ever since he said it, but I've been ignoring it.
I've got one more thing to say, if I may, just very quickly.
Go on.
And it's not an insult. I was very, very tired on Wednesday morning, and it's all the fault of James Hart.
Sorry.
No, just because, yeah, and it's not even rude. He kept me up all night. What it is I don't think people know. I mean, I've just got to announce this in the chat room, and please feel free to blush, James. James is now hosting a pop radio show on a channel. What's it called? I did look it up. I can't remember what it's
MintFM.net.
called. MintFM.net. And it's from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock on a Tuesday evening. And, right, I'll be absolutely honest with you.
Does it play music from the hip, right, James?
It plays hot tunes for your. I don't know.
Well done, mate! Congratulations.
Yes, fella, I'm not joking. The fella was fantastic. I mean,
I did my first BlackBerry review and everything. No, I didn't really.
I enjoyed his music, but his chat is. This boy can chat, he can make jokes, he can do things on the fly, he's entertaining. I tell you what, I don't even care if you do have something to do, like be in bed or asleep, just listen to James on, you can, James, this is your moment.
Oh dear. Perfect face for radio, mintfm.net. It's called Late Night Loaf, because everybody needs a nice loaf late at night.
The guy is a genius. Please do yourself a favour.
So do you actually stay up for that? Because you get up pretty early for work.
Do I stay up late for it?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Because
you don't pre-record or anything?
No. I think one of the most important parts for a radio show for me is the interaction. And the brilliant thing about Twitter is that people can be really rude to you, and you can read it out on air, and you don't have to say, you'd have to make anything up then. It's kind of like what Wogan used to do with letters from the good old Hawks. But yes, it's all good fun.
Radio and
there
from
is
the
an
sharp
archive.
End.
There is an archive. Please listen to it. He's just bloody brilliant, that boy. And I swore, because he's that good.
Bless you. Thanks, Alex. Oh, you know, I thought that Alex did his own. I believe that Alex should do his own radio show, because he's excellent. He can, you know, that. Could you listen to Alex for hours? I certainly could, and I have done.
Well, it's going to be the grumpy bastard in the shed. With
oh, wouldn't that
show,
be brilliant? Oh, yes. Right.
Grumpy bastards in the shed. There we go. James is on mintfm.net with the late night loaf. I've put it in the show notes. James, you're a hero, mate.
That's where you can find me. See, moving on quite nicely. Thank you, Alex. You've embarrassed me exquisitely.
You earned it, mate.
There's a linkable link in the chat room.
A linkable link? Oh, by the way, that appears to be an HTC Android problem. So there you go.
James is very good. Don't know why Johnny Winter's putting underscores in everything, but never mind. There we go. I got recognised this week.
Wow.
It was so cool. Yeah, I was in Victoria in the coffee shop, and someone said, are you Ewan? Yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh, I've never felt like that. It was brilliant.
What he's not telling you is before he came up, he went, hello, hello, hello.
I tell you what.
I'm on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Did you get asked for an autograph as well?
No, he gave me a summons, yeah.
I've been following you around all the way down to Euston.
So he was asking for your signature then.
Yeah, it was a paternity suit for something or other. I don't know.
Oh, that is amazing.
That's a complete and utter lie, by the way, because that required me to have sex. Right. Where can we get a hold of you, James?
Well, Syzygy on Twitter, SYZYGY, and 10 p.m. to midnight UK time on Tuesday evenings. Thanks, Alex.
Good, mate. Alex, where are you, pal?
Alex G. Fox and Throwing Abuse at Syzygy between 10 and 12 on Tuesday nights on FM.
10 and 12.
Yeah, it kept me up till midnight. I can't believe it.
I'm supposed to be sitting up with Steve Neighbour on Sunday night watching the football game, the Super Bowl. And Steve said I might not make it past halfway. And I've got to say, to tell you the truth, the way I've been going this week, I might not make kickoff.
You're all early birds,
Sarah. Where are you, girl?
I'm normally listening to Mint FM on Tuesday evenings. 10 to 12 with a certain member of the team.
Can we download it and put it as a podcast, James? Sorry, Sarah.
It is available in the archives. So yes, and funnily enough, Beth was saying, "Oh, I've made it through three quarters of your show. It's taken a day and a half to get through the three quarters of my show. So it's heavy listening."
Okay, sorry, Sarah.
No, I was just going to say.
You just made me think of that. That's all.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to download that and listen to that then, James. I'm available on the Twitters at Sarah Jane UK.
Excellent. Thank you. And Chris Eschweiler, who turned up with 5 minutes notice and had a cool thing.
That's pretty impressive.
And a good beard.
And spoke intelligently.
And a really good cool thing at that.
You've done yourself proud, mate.
Thank you. Thanks for opening it up to the mere muggle over here and letting me
play with you. We'll have you on again. You outstripped us by a mile. Where can we get a hold of you, mate?
I'm on the Twitters at Chris Esch. ChrisEsch. That's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me. I have a little website. It's no more than a placeholder at this point at chrisesch.com.
Right. At Chris Esch on Twitter. That's the one you're on. Good man. Thank you very much for joining in. Very much appreciated. And if you were sitting humming and ahhing over the fact that I said send me a DM, you can come on. Chris is proof of the fact that you kid and you've missed it. We're back tomorrow. We've got Macworld. He's playing Havoc with the roster tomorrow. So there will be people on hotel Wi-Fi. It will be Cylon-y, glitchy and roly. And there might be stills up of most of the people because we can't maintain a bandwidth for them at the hotel that they're at. But Kelly's on and we're off and running. And also
will Greeny be on?
As well. Greeny's definitely on. No question.
He'll be sounding what he normally does then.
DHM's away on holiday, so he's not coming on. But we've got the usual bunch. Carl's going to be on as well, so we'll have plenty, don't worry.
And you got the photo show before that?
Photo show's at 2, and I think...
Get to bed before it starts.
I think Carl's joining us as well tomorrow as our interested amateur. So if you're an interested amateur of photography and you fancy coming on and being the fourth member of the panel on the photo show, send me an email.
BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com. Being a disinterested professional.
Yeah, no, well, that's fairly summary though, isn't it? Oh, shit, I've got to take pictures again. Oh, shit, I've got to edit now. Beep. We'll be back again next week. Honest. Thanks for listening.